another story about what it's like in northeastern Japan, the site of the tsunami and earthquake, in Takanazawa town in Tosiji Prefecture, 100 kilometers north of Tokyo. We're now joined by Tim Lindenschmidt. Tim, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
You're a Canadian citizen. You've been in Japan for 7 years. So what can you tell us about what's going on in your community?
Things aren't actually too bad in my community right now. We have water, we have electricity, we have gas to cook with. Here, it's not so bad.
And the horrific thing about this tragedy is that you can walk almost literally across the street or into the next town and see scenes of complete devastation. What have you observed?
In my area, there's mostly the damage is limited to walls, garden walls, and roof tiles. But like you said, what I've been seeing on TV in the heavily struggling areas, it is like that. It's absolutely terrible.
Describe what happened when the earthquake hit last Friday. You were teaching a class.
Yes, I teach elementary school, and I was just wrapping up a class with my co-teacher. There had been a quake on Wednesday, and when the actual quake started on Friday, we thought it was going to be about the same thing. We told the kids to get under their desks, as they've been taught. We moved to the hall. We stood there, waited for it to pass. It got stronger. We realized it wasn't going to pass. This was actually something very, very serious. While we waited, we kept trying to keep the kids calm, kept telling them, you know, it's okay, it's going to be okay. Stand to your desks, you'll be fine. All the while looking at each other thinking, oh, crap, this is terrible,
well,
sort of a thing.
Tim, it was kind of a we're not in Canada anymore sort of a feeling. That's where you're from.
Yes.
Did the kids project that they had more experience with this kind of thing, perhaps even than their teacher?
The kids handled it pretty well. When it was happening, of course, you know, there were some girls who were very scared, but everyone was, you know, they gathered together. They were encouraging each other, you know, it's okay. We're here. We're going to get through this together. Afterwards, when we'd evacuated to the ground, some of them were still very upset, some of them crying. But overall, they pulled together and they showed a great deal of resilience.
Sort of historians and, you know, cultural critics or whatever you want to call them have described Japan as a relatively homogenous society in the sense that there's a kind of built-in solidarity in Japan, island nation with a unique history. I'm wondering if you had a chance to observe just how this has touched everyone, regardless of whether they're in the middle of the disaster or not.
Everyone knows. They know it's a bad thing. They know it's terrible. But they also know that we can't get through this if we just think of ourselves. And so everybody's been working together. I went to a supermarket today. There was limited entry at the supermarket. They were only letting 5 people in at a time. In some places, that's sort of a limit. You might think there'd be angry people in line. There'd be, you know, people banging on the doors. That didn't happen here. Everyone was waiting in line patiently. We were talking amongst ourselves. It was very calm.
Is there more of a sense of anxiety, Tim, about the sort of nuclear instability that's taking place at the Fukushima Daiichi facility?
In my region, we are closer than Tokyo is to the Fukushima facility, but there hasn't really been that much anxiety up until today. Just in the past hour or so, there's been developments on TV about the fuel rods being exposed and possible meltdown. But until that happened, and from what I've been speaking with my acquaintances today, there's been really no deep worry about our well-being in relation to that.
All right. To Tim Lindenschmidt, thanks so much. He's in the Takanazawa town in Tosiji Prefecture, which is about 100 kilometers north of Tokyo, describing how being out of the devastation doesn't mean you're out of the loop as far as worrying about either the nuclear situation or the devastation in Japan from the earthquake and tsunami. Tim, thanks so much. Joining us now is Sayaka Matsumoto, who's a public relations officer with the Japanese Red Cross Society. Sayaka, first of all, thanks for joining us. And secondly, what is your concern should the nuclear situation escalate as far as evacuations and getting people's basic needs satisfied up there in the Northeast?
We are operating around the new. We're not directly involved in nuclear matters. We are sending a medical team for the people evacuated from the 20 kilometers around area to just give them the general healthcare services.
Can you give us a sense of the scale of this disaster and the number of civilians you're going to be serving for the near future?
Well, the scale of this disaster is something that we never ever imagined. Like those little towns or villages on the coast, they were very much prepared for the tsunami, but the wave just got higher than what they prepared for. And now the government is saying there are like 100,000 people in evacuation centers. So we'll be providing medical services to the hospitals, which is receiving the patients, and also we are providing support services to the people in staying in evacuation center. We'll probably be staying long term. And what's really important is the psychosocial care. Like, people lost their families and loved ones, and they've seen such a really bad scene, devastating scene. So they will definitely need psychosocial care.
Horrific stories repeated by the thousands there in northeastern Japan. That's Sayaka Matsumoto, who's the public relations officer of the Japanese Red Cross Society, describing this is worse than even they ever imagined. Thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.